Hi there, my name is Jeannie. I'm an alcoholic. Excuse my throat. I've been up since 8 o'clock and talking all day long. That's what I do. I'm going to take a minute. I'm going to ask God to come in and have him speak the words he'd have me speak tonight, kind of quell my ego a little. And if you take that minute with me and have God open your ears so that you hear whatever it is you need to hear tonight, if you take that minute with me, please. Okay, nice and calm now. Whatever I say, you can blame him for it. I was born in Detroit, Michigan in 1938. That's rigorous honesty. They talk about that in a big book. Tomorrow happens to be my birthday, March 30th, 1938. I will be 88 years old tomorrow. Joe, thank you for bringing me. Thank you guys for making me feel like I was some kind of a celebrity here tonight. Anyway, so this is what happened to me. I was born in Detroit, like I said. I was born before the war started. My dad was getting called into the service. They had kind of divorced in their own home. I had an older brother and sister in Detroit. And when my dad went into the service, he dropped me, my grandmother, me and my siblings off at my grandmother's house with my mom. She went to the Detroit downtown federal building. She got a job down there to supplement the income the government was paying us. And about 6 months living with my grandmother, her mother, she came home one day to take us kids with her. She had met a new guy and she was gonna leave with him. And my grandmother said, "You can go live a life of sin, but you're not taking these three beautiful French-Irish Catholic babies with you." She said, "You get your head screwed on straight, you get a real divorce from that first husband, and you can take your children." And about 6 months after that, my grandmother died of a massive heart attack and left us kids orphans, really. So I was an orphan. I lived in an orphanage a short time. I was in 12 different foster homes before I was 9 years old. I'd like to tell you that they took us in because I was such a cute little girl, but the truth of the matter is they took us in because they got $8 a week for money. And all the husbands were away in the service. These farm girls needed some extra cash. We were like egg money. But every time I did something wrong in one of those houses, they pointed their finger like, "Louise, you do that again, you're going back to the home." You know, so every time I went back to the home, I knew it was because I was bad and I was doing something wrong. But they didn't catch me at half the shit I did, you know. So I knew I was really bad. And so this is kind of the attitude that I grew up with. I knew it was me against the world. I knew these people did not. I knew I was kind of a throwaway person. And I knew if I see you, we got to fall in love real quick because I might be out of here tomorrow. You know, I know I'm not a very good little girl. And so I married the first guy that asked me because my whole life, all I ever wanted was to have a family. And my sponsor made me look at this. That's why I can tell you about it when I finally got here at 48 years old. She said, "Jeannie, you knew this guy 3 weeks. Did you love him?" And I had to think about it. And she said, "Well, don't tell me now." She said, "Go home and write about it." So I went home and I wrote, "He was tall, dark, and handsome." Well, he was only dark and handsome, but two out of three aren't bad. And he really liked me a lot. She said, "How do you know that?" And I said, "Because he used to wait. I worked at Coney Island restaurant, a hot dog place, Port Huron, Michigan. And he would wait for my station. Even if your table was empty, he'd wait for my station. And he gave me that look. You girls know that look." And so when he asked, and another reason I married him, he said he came from Ohio. Ohio, how exotic is that? I'm gonna travel. And he said the big thing was, he said he worked at the post office. Everybody that worked at the post office, their kids came to school better dressed, they had new shoes every semester, they had that picket fence, they had that warm glow coming from their living room. Those were the people that worked in the post office, you know. It's not just a job, it's a career. They can't get fired, in other words. And so, when he told me that, you know, it was done. One other thing, he invited me to go to a drive-in movie this was just the end of our 3-year courtship. And he said, and I said, oh, for sure, you know. So he stopped at this liquor store to get some snacks, because the snack bar at the drive-in is very expensive, and he's frugal. I like that about him. He's kind of an orphan, too. He wants to have a big family. I'm marking all this stuff down. And I had read this article about a person making a Caesar salad. It was one of those articles in those magazines you used to have to hide under the mattress. And it was a romantic magazine. And it said this Caesar salad that they put anchovies in it. Anchovies. I had no idea. I'm from Michigan. You know, I have no idea what an anchovy is. But I think it's probably one of those rare vegetables, those little corns, you know, or something. So when he's looking at Slim Jim's potato chips and that kind of stuff, I'm looking at the anchovies. They're not just regular anchovies, they're from Portugal. Oh my God, exotic anchovies. And so he comes over to me and he goes, oh, what have you got? Did you want something else, honey? I said, well, I'd like to try these anchovies. And he said, well, how much are they? I said, well, they're 10 cents a can. He said, get two. Get two anchovies in a backup. I already had the ism. I just didn't have the cocktail yet, you know. And so I got two anchovies, and I tried to open them on the way to the drive-in. Couldn't get it open. He said, give me a little tool out of the box there, my welcome barman. He said, I'll open it for you. So he tried to start it. He got it started. Oil went all over him. He handed them back to me. That anchovy oil went all over me. But did that stop him? No. He hugged and kissed me all through that movie. And he didn't hear I smelled like a dead fish. I have three beautiful babies by him. My dreams were coming true. He was doing what some men do when you say no at home. He's staying out late at night. And, you know, we ended up in a divorce. I ended up signing my children over to him after about 5 years of going back and forth. We went to the 82nd Airborne because he couldn't find a job in Michigan. Oh, by the way, he told me he's painting that post office. One night he came home and he goes, guess what? And I said, what? He said, the job at the post office is finished. I went, finished? What about that wind, rain, sleet, and snow shift? Finished. The job at the post office, he was painting the post office. Him and his crew were going back to Ohio. And that's when he went back into the service. We ended up at the 101st in Germany for 3 years. I have my three beautiful babies. We get home, he drops me off, he goes on to his next tour of duty. We have a divorce already. I hate him when he comes home. I'm glad that all he wants is spam, you know, some crispy spam. And so when we got the separation, I ended up, he ended up having to come and get the kids because we were literally starving. He got an early discharge. I signed my children over to my husband due to a lack of education, due to a lack of money. But I thought it was, I can't read.
How much?
Huh? Two minutes. And so, oh, I can tell my whole life story in 2 minutes. No. And so anyway, he's at his next tour of duty. I go back and forth and visit those kids back and forth because I can't afford to keep them myself. In the meantime, I ended up signing my children over to him because every time I went to visit those kids, I needed a little bigger bottle of something. I had figured I'd committed the worst sin. Who better than me, an orphan, knows what it is to leave your kids behind? When I signed those kids over to my husband, I just knew I was the worst person in the world. I closed the door on that part of my past. They talk about that in the big book. From then on, if you said, Ginny, have you ever been married? I'd say yes. Do you have children? I'd say no. I denied my children for the next 15 years till I got to you. I was never going to cross their doorstep again. I was never going to ruin their life. I'd done enough damage in their lives. You know, but when I got to you, through it, my bartender got me to you. It's how I got to you. My bartender gave me the big book in the service area. You know, I became a Playboy bunny. I traveled the world with half I opened 7 new clubs for HEF all over the world. It was exactly what I needed. I needed that distraction. From then on, you better buy me that Prada purse. You better give me the best restaurant. You better drive the best car, because it was an outside fix for me. It's all I needed. When I finally got sober and did my 4-step, you know, I had to do that 9-step when I got to it. I wrote that letter of amends to my sons, and I said things, if you only want to come and see me out of curiosity, I'm available to you today. You know, I hadn't been available to anybody ever. I never trusted enough to be available to you or to myself. You know, this is what Alcoholics Anonymous has done for me, what my sponsor writing that, making me write that 4-step has done for me. The little teeny bit of work that I've done around here, for the first time in my life, I feel safely held in places like this. Thank you.